is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back, hour three, on this Monday. So much good racing to talk about and to recap. Wesley Ward is going to join us here momentarily, and I think Wesley is, he's with us now. And Wesley, you run horses around a bunch of places, and you don't necessarily expect to win stakes in three different venues over 2 days.
Thank you.
We've got to start, obviously, with the Grade One and Nakatomi. I just had Mig last hour, and Mig said he talked to you in the paddock, and you were really pleased with the way he was coming back into this.
Yeah, he's doing great. And super.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse, obviously, and you've done the far flung trip to Maidan, and when you bring horses back from these international trips, over the years we certainly when it came to Dubai, there was the expectation that you had to be careful with them. Is that still true, or how much has that changed over the years?
I just historically give them time. It's just it's a long ways over, and when they run hard like he did, and you get back, we just kicked him out at the farm for a little while, just to kind of let him, get his feet back underneath him and get him back feeling good, which he did, and off he went.
Well, You look at his career to this point, Wesley, and he's a gelding, so he's not going anywhere. He's got exceptional talent. I sort of had forgotten until these PPs, how well he ran in the Breeders' Cup last year.
Yeah, if you really watch the race and kind of look at it, how it all came about, he really had a tough go. It was unfortunate we didn't have the rider in Tyler Gaffney. He was committed to ride Steve's horse, who was second, and so we had a great replacement in Luis Saez, but unfortunately Luis just didn't know the horse, and Luis, in his mind, Breeders' Cup sprint, all speed, he kind of sent him off away from there, and then we were kind of compromised in that he was found himself on the lead almost, and then around the far turn, I think Louis just thought, not knowing the horse, that he was gonna back up and that was it, and then all of a sudden here he came again down the lane, if you really watch it,
right?
And it always really helps to have a rider that has been riding the horse throughout his whole career in Tyler. And he just knows the horse so well. And, when we came back, Tyler breezed the horse all winter long for me at Payson Park. And that's quite a drive for someone that's stationed at Gulfstream. And he never missed each and every week.
Wow.
And when we were going to go over to run, and that was always a plan for Jim Hay, Mr. Pitry Hay, and Shag Prod from the Breeders' Cup. Both of them, Shag Prod, one of his best friends is Jamie Spencer, as well as Alex Cole and Dr. Hay. So he took, accepted the call and wanted to ride the horse, and was instrumental in when the horse went through the sale and putting the two parties together and buying the horse. So he rode the horse. But again, it's a little bit like Luis Saez with Jamie Spencer, just not knowing the horse as well as Tyler. I got to take my hat off to Tyler, who knew that going in and still came up each and every weekend or week to work the horse at Payson, put the time and effort knowing that he would get the horse back when he came back to the States, and he did. And he ran phenomenal for him.
Well, and was ridden with a lot of confidence. And when he basically said go, and here was Skelly looking, you know, off the turn, Skelly was felt like Santana, you know, had plenty of horse and it was going to be tough to reel in. And it really was never in doubt.
Yeah, and again, you know, I don't want to keep reiterating myself on Tyler and this particular horse. But he just knows him so well that, you know, he was meant to come from a little bit further off the pace. If you look at the form going into the race and all the other horses lined up with speed, but we were so fresh that he broke so well. He was right there, and, you know, the track was playing speed all day, Tyler knowing that as well, that he let him bounce up in there, and then he could have, as Skelly kind of gets out, went up on the inside, but this guy really runs better when you get him outside of horses. And so he took him, you know, out wide, where he could have just went right up inside of Skelly, and he might not have had the finish that he did. But Tyler, knowing the horse, he rode just a picture-perfect race.
Well, he matches his career best figure with a 105 buyer. And feels like, you know, you set yourself up nicely. Mig talked about the conversation. Also, you talking about 6 furlongs being his preferred sprint distance, and you're not going to tinker with 7/8 and so forth. So Phoenix and then the Breeders' Cup?
It's not so much that. I don't think 7/8 would. Yeah, he certainly, I think, would be fine with that distance. That's not the issue. It's just a lot of times when you give a horse time like we did, they come back, and just like you said, he fired, equaled his career best buyer number. You don't want to fire him right back. You know, sometimes they just don't run as well as if you gave him some time, which we are. And then he would be right here on his home track that he's trained every. We broke him here at Kalen, so as a yearling. So, I mean, he trains every day for the last 4 years here at Kalen, and, you know, sort of like a home court advantage.
Sure.
Going into what would lead into the Breeders' Cup. So, you know, we'll give him a good spacing off a big, huge effort right here at his home track, and hopefully that puts us right where we want to be for the Breeders' Cup sprint.
Well, everything kind of coming together, and we should note that this win, which was worth $192,000, blasts him into millionaire status.
It sure does. He's such a special horse to be around. Fergus Galvin, who brought me over to see the horse, who sold the horse as a yearling to see if this is the horse I wanted. His daughter comes to the barn. She's, I don't know, a little gal, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. Didn't ask her age, but she's a little sweetheart. She comes over and she rides him. So, when it's all said and done, that's where she'll be. It'll be her pony forever. So he'll have a great life at the end of the day. That's for sure with Fergus.
Wait a minute. Go back for a second. You put her on this racehorse.
No, her father puts her on. Her father puts her on. I allow it. But her father is there when she gets on the horse.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that obviously also speaks to his makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a sweetheart. He's going to be a great pony at the end of the day.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, in the meantime, here he is, 5-year-old gelding. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. And Nakatomi, now a millionaire. He's going to end up in a firing line. He's going to end up, probably ends up being firing line's best son when it's all said and done.
Yeah. From what I understand now and reading the article, he's standing at a stallion station in the Philippines. So I would assume that he will be the leading money earner for sure.
He had one other. Who was the other? right? He had another good son kicking around.
I'm not sure if it's a son or daughter, but I think in the article I read, it's a New York bred that's made, you know, 800
yeah,
plus.
Yeah, I love it. And out of a flatter mare, Arnold Zetcher and Crestwood originally bred him, and he was a $25,000 yearling going back. Amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing. Well, you have a tendency to be able to do that, Wesley. And got to talk about yesterday before we move to Chicago and talk about Daring Do, which is a nice win. The jaw-dropping performance yesterday was from Dream Away. And this is a flame away filly that won at first asking for the Oxleys. Jack bred this out of his very nice Del Mar Oaks winner, Dream Dancing. She shouldn't be this fast on 5/8. No?
She is.
Holy she cow.
Is.
Were you expecting such a dominant effort yesterday?
I really thought she'd win, you know, and she went off odds on because so did, you know, the betting public as well. But it was you know, certainly an eye opener there. She's a sweetheart of a filly as well. She's really nice to be around. Really good feeling horse. Never had a bad day in her life. She's always at the front of the stall, always jumping around and squealing and feeling good. Yes, really easy filly to train. No issues. She ships wherever she goes. I send her into my great buddy Kelly Breen's barn, and she eats the bottom of the feed tub always wherever she is. Little 95-pound gal gallops around there with one hand. I mean, she's just a joy to train.
Unbelievable. Two for two. And, you know, it's interesting because that for those that saw go back to the Keeneland 4.5 furlong races, she really fought, and that was, you know, that was impressive in its own right. This was different. I mean, Paco Lopez aboard, who certainly can, you know, can quarter horse him out of the gate, but she just kept, I mean, with every stride she was pulling away.
Yeah, she Paco's rode for me forever. And he dries up just like Tyler and works the horses up at pace, and he's never been on her, but you know, he's as good as there is when they say go. And he's, you know, the king of Monmouth, now that Joe Bravo's taking a little back seat to him, as Joe was the king there before. You know, he's a great rider. He did everything we wanted.
Well, how quickly do you stretch her out?
Not quite sure we're going to do that. In that, you know, we're kind of going to weigh our options out a little bit this year. I mean, she certainly looks very well moving towards the Breeders' Cup, we're going to have a conversation with Justin Cassie, who manages this horse for the Oxleys. And mentioned a few things to him. Said I'd like to kind of, my longtime assistant Blake Heap is out in California right now, and kind of looking at the speakeasy out there and getting her out early, being as Blake's out there now, and going to be able to watch over her, make sure everything goes right, and get her settled in. And if she runs as she did yesterday at Monmouth, kind of that would solidify her for the Breeders' Cup if she's that good, you know, in that race out in California. So we kind of have that, we're looking at that, but yet to have Mr. Oxley and Justin stamp, give the final stamp of approval on that one.
I got it. As I mentioned, the dam, Dream Dancing, she won the Del Mar Oaks, so you got that tie-in. And this is, you know, this is one of the great Oxley families. The dam is a daughter of Beautiful Pleasure.
Right.
At some point, we will see this filly stretch out.
We will. We certainly will. It's but just
no rush.
For what they gave her to me for, I'm hoping to accomplish for them.
I love it. And the Oxleys, of course, one of the real treasures around the game, currently and historically. dream away. If you didn't see yesterday's Colleen Stakes at Monmouth, pull up the replay. Super impressive. And then I was actually looking at Hawthorne to see how Ravelli made out with one timer. And lo and behold, I see, oh, Wesley won out there too. you won the Lady Carey, the turf sprint.
Yeah. Well, that's my great buddy. Forever. He lives with my family there in the wintertime and down in Miami for 15 years. So we shipped her up to Larry Ranner for me, and she ran and she won, and unfortunately he lost, but
yeah.
So
well, and this was, now this was a price. I mean, the other two we talked, Nakatomi was a decent price, but this was a 7-to-1 shot, and that very nice horse of Chris Blocks, Uvra, was in here at a little under 2-to-1. And talk about this Into Mischief filly for the Jacksons.
Yeah, she's just been a great filly to train over the years for the Jacksons. You know, she won last year as a three-year-old. She was a stakes winner in the P-Patch, and we just couldn't quite get her on track this year. She ran last in an off-the-turf race in Churchill, and there were a few better than her in there. Then we looked at the race prior to that was here at Keeneland, and she just didn't fire as big as she did yesterday in that one. So this is only her – she only had a couple starts back this year, and she ran great. She had a big number. She came back with 80 buyers, so we're all happy for that. Hopefully we can kind of move forward and pick another spot like she was in yesterday.
Well, and of course for the Jacksons, I mean, to have an Into Mischief, this is a homebred anyway, out of a Blame mare, more than likely, but you know, right away to make her a multiple stake winner, it fits their program, and you know, become a broodmare down the road for them as well. You would think. I got to ask you one before we look at a couple of horses that are coming on Friday. Give us a thought about Coffee Maker, because I'm sure that was one of the few disappointments of the weekend.
Yeah, you know, she's just kind of we were kind of held up a little bit in the gate when she with. The Godolphin filly was a little tough to load.
Yeah.
And she kind of lunged forward in the gate and came back. And then the gate crew had to tail her because of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when they tail horses, they don't get away from the first jump, a couple jumps like they would if they hadn't. And that was the case. And speaking with Louis Saez, who's rode her now for a few years, he said that kind of, Paco kind of got the jump on him on his filly, whereas if had they broke with no interruptions, he felt like he could have kind of got away from Aaron Paco. He might have just set back and let us have the lead, which he runs a lot better when she's in front instead of kind of dueling. So she had to make up a few steps to get up there with him, and when they did, they just went sizzling fractions and 43 and change, and that just cost us at the end.
Well, and Wesley, for people that are listening that aren't around the game, explain what tailing a horse in the gate and what it entails.
When horses are a little fractious in there, there'll be a man, and one of the gate handlers behind will lift a horse's tail up and hold it on top of the, when they close the gate doors behind, and that usually takes away from a horse wanting to flip. But it will do when the horse's tail is up on top of the gate. It inhibits them the first couple of jumps out of there because their tail's up on top of the gate with the man holding it. So that's just it's just something that happens. It's more for safety reasons for the horse and jockey in there, but it certainly hurts your chances the first jump or two away from there.
Exactly. And not a practice that many horsemen appreciate. Invariably, And then, of course, the gate crew says, well, it's your horse. Your horse caused the problem. It's like, wait a minute. Nobody.
I mean, you can understand it in both ways. You know,
yeah.
For safety, you certainly don't want, if they're in control of your horse at that time.
Yeah.
So whatever they say goes. And if they feel it necessary to do that, then you have to sort of abide by it. And that's, you know, they're in control of what happens, you know, and they're also in control of the jockeys and horses' lives. So if they deem it necessary, then, you know, that's just the way it is. And I have no problems with it. I wish they wouldn't do it on my particular horses on that one, the first jump or two away from there. But like I said, if it needs to be done, then, I'll never question them for that.
Well, and especially because, you know, your horses invariably are trained to leave the gate with alacrity. Talk about a couple of upcomers, and you got a bunch of maidens lined up. But I tell you what, before I ask about Mascara and Beer Run, I've got to ask you about a Bob Edwards horse that has made its debut. When are we going to see Fawn Leibowitz run back?
You know, she ran very well in her first start, I thought. She doesn't have the Saratoga A-track talent, but she kind of got away a little slow, but probably doesn't have the speed for five and a half anyways. So we went over to Belterra and she had a good closing third in that race. I was actually there on the day to run Bob's horse. And so I told Bob that we're going to look to go around two turns with her. She's a kind of a smaller filly, and, you know, she may be a B track level, but she as well is a trier, and hopefully we can get Bob a winner here in her next start.
Well, and for those that aren't of a certain age or are Animal House fans, Fawn Leibowitz, the famous sophomore, in that notorious Kiln accident. Wesley, I saw that the other day, and I burst out laughing. I can't wait to see Bob Edwards, because it's an inspired name for a filly. What about Mascara coming up this week?
She's another small filly as well, and she fits the criteria of the race, one of those auction races. So
yeah.
She's done everything right by Caravaggio. She should like the grass. But we drew. I like the outside post for a first time starter. You know, if they get away a little slow, they don't have any pressure from the outside, or kind of get, you know, at least the next couple of jumps they can get going. So, but she's trained well. I had Junior on the other day on the grass. So we got a feel of her. So it should hopefully get some luck there as well.
Nice. How about Beer Run?
Beer Run, we've been waiting for this guy to win. And, Jose knows the horse very well. He had no excuses in his last start, his first start back here at Keeneland. Jose made a decision to take him back, which I liked. And he came closing, but a horse kind of got away from him there in Keeneland in his first start of the year. And his next start there at Churchill, he had no apparent excuses and just got beat. But maybe the turf course at Saratoga, he'll like it a little better than he did at Churchill. Maybe that's the reason why he kind of just ran flat. It was a nice third, but certainly we're expecting more. And he's training very well coming into this, so we're crossing our fingers.
Nice. And I got to ask you about Saturday at Saratoga as well, because you bring back the Not This Time gelding. This is Clock Tower, who ran well. I mean, it was a beaten favorite, but ran okay in that debut.
He did. He had no excuses. Johnny had him on the lead, and he was beaten. But the way he trains now, he trains like a horse that will go a little further, albeit he's out of a Bustin' Stones mare,
yeah,
who you would think all speed. So I'm kind of taking a chance here just based on – if you watch the horse and see how he gallops and moves, he moves like a horse that'll go two turns. And with the start underneath him, that being the advantage. Sometimes these two-year-old races, if you can go easy up front, you can kind of come home late, especially if you have a race underneath them. We nearly beat one. We almost won one the other day with a Gunrunner filly, wire to wire. Johnny was up on that as well, but Chad and Resolute came and wore us down there the last few jumps of the race. But, you know, if we kind of get some soft fractions, you know, hopefully he'll keep galloping, and that's the way he looks. That's how he trains, and that's how he gallops in the morning. Like, he'll just keep going, albeit he does have speed. So we'll have to see. Usually the pace dictates the outcome of these type of races, and the two-year-olds going a mile 16th.
No doubt. We're just starting to get, you know, they're just starting to get going, these races. And you mentioned the Bustin' Stones mare. That mare was a nice stake horse for Roddy, Hot Stones.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was all right. Eight-time winner, Hot Stones. Finally, Wesley, let me ask you, nice to see Arrest Me Red getting ready for Kentucky Downs.
Yeah, here at Keeneland today, he had a nice breeze, so he's ready to go. 5.5 on the grass, so the race is lined up with speed, but he's, you know, he doesn't have to be on the lead, which he won't be here, but he being in the three hole, he should be able to tuck down inside. And if the old Arrest Me Red comes out, he's a winner. And if age is kind of getting to him, then we probably won't be. But he's training very well right now. So, you know, he ran a big race there at Turfway a couple starts back, which would put him in a winner's circle. But, you know, we'll see how he does now. But he's doing very well.
When are we going to see White Sands next? Who is 2-for-2 and was really impressive, winning that juvenile at Prairie.
Yeah, I've got to kind of I'm kind of looking at where to go with her next. She's a special filly. She only has one eye, and she's sort of an overachiever in her races. When you put her in the afternoon, she's running like hell lately, but she's. It's been at Turfway and at Prairie Meadows. So now we're going to have to step up and go to either Saratoga, the Adirondack, or we'll go out to Del Mar, possibly. We've got her nominated out there. Or we might even try the grass at Saratoga in a couple of weeks and give her a little bit more time. So those are our three options. And as we kind of, she worked very, very well this morning here at Keeneland, with a really nice horse in Perils Dynasty. They were kind of heads up at the wire. You couldn't really tell which one was better. And he's a really, really nice colt that I have. That's a brother to four-wheel drive. So we'll see moving forward through this, which direction we go, but I'll speak with Coolmore and then we'll make a plan here shortly.
Excellent. I'm glad I asked because we hadn't had a chance to talk about White Sands. And then finally, Long Neck Paula coming out of opening day in the Schuylerville, third in there. And it was kind of a wacky race. You had the big priced winner of Safi's, Queen's MG. Long Neck Paula, though, I would think we'll see her press on toward the Adirondack. Or are you going to hold her up for the end of the meet, the spinaway?
Not quite sure yet. We got her here at Keeneland. Going to get another work or two in here shortly, and we'll make a decision.
She's all right, though.
She's doing good.
Yeah, she's nice. This is an Uncle Mo filly out of Take Charge Paula for Will Stroud, and won at First Asking, and was cut out to be a nice horse, no doubt. Wesley. I could ask you about another 15 horses. I appreciate this as always, and continued success. Tremendous weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy.
Always great. Wesley Ward, everybody, who is just so sharp and firing on a lot of cylinders. Now, if you didn't see White Sands, I'd forgotten about the eye. You know, it's funny. She has the one eye, and her dam's name was Unicorn Girl. I don't know if there's a tie in there. We've got to talk some handicapping. We've gotten through 2.5 hours of recapping, and we got tons more tomorrow. I Pletcher in hour three tomorrow, Andy Serling in hour three, and I will load up on everybody else, probably some Cruel Jack and Glatt we got to get to, and who else I really would like to get. I got to get that assistant, the Appleby assistant, who's running Green Tree, Chris Connett. Gonna have to browbeat him into coming on. Those are some of the highlights. I think. Oh, Ned Allard. I promise you, I will scare up Ned Allard. Just hearing from Tony Kahlo. I'll come to Tony in 10. Let's go to Pat Morrell. Let's get some Pimo in here. And they've got the Eddie Stanko today. The Princess of Sylmar. And in addition to the Princess of Sylmar, there's also a very good allowance. So what Pat is going to do for us, hopefully with my help, is give everybody the double.
Well, we're going to try. We are definitely going to try, Steve. Let me put it that way.
There you go. Before we talk about the steak, and let me give everybody the timing. Of course, racing starts at 3 o'clock at Presque. The allowance goes off at 5:15, the steak at 5:42. But before we do any of that, we haven't talked in 2-3 weeks. Pat, what?
We have not, Steve. Man, we miss you, buddy.
Well, you'll see me soon enough. You'll end of the month. You'll see me
later. Are we going to be blessed to see you, right?
You will. You'll see me the day after Labor Day, the traditional Tuesday morning show from Erie on my way to Kentucky. So we'll definitely do that show. And I love it. We still have to figure out what we're doing for the Masters. I don't know how I'm going to pull that rabbit out of the hat, but we'll figure it out.
Here's what I think we should do, Steve. We should call one of our devoted listeners from your show that has a corporate jet, so we can just fly you out to Ben Salem, and it wouldn't be any problem.
Well, the thing is, I got to scoop up Tina. This is going to be a tricky weekend, because not only is it Pennsylvania Derby Day on Saturday, but you guys moved to Friday evening.
We did.
Which is fine, and it's really clever, and there's going to be the four stakes, the Cotillion, the Pennsylvania Derby, the Presque Mile, and the Masters, a two-track pick four, which is really fun. But it's also the Rittenhouse Square Art Show that weekend, and it's one of Tina and our favorite things, is that, thank God the Eagles aren't home that day, Sunday, because we'd have to deal with the Eagle game too. But there's only so many things we can do in Pennsylvania. Correct. Over the weekend. Plus, I've been getting a lot of stuff. I've been getting a lot of feeds on my Instagram feed. I'm seeing a lot of places to visit between Reading and Lancaster and all these places, all kinds of tourists. So there is potential to, maybe if I can get Tina to Rochester and then to Erie for Friday, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, right. I mean, Steve, you know, we would love to have you at PID. You know that. We love when you come there. We get so much traction with inside the industry when you're here. And it's wonderful, because everybody knows who Steve Bick is. Not everybody knows who Pimo is. So
yeah, that's not true.
With that being maybe I'm infamous, not famous, but you never know. You never know with that. But a really good card on tap today, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a strong card. I've gone through it from the very first race to 12-5 the whole way through. You know, it's challenging today, and there's a couple horses I really, really like today. You know, and I know you wanted to talk about the sixth and the seventh, and we can start in the sixth if you want.
All right, go ahead. Let's. This is a restricted Pennsylvania bred 3 and ups that have never won a Pennsylvania restricted race. It's kind of an interesting group of horses. And you got a favorite that makes a lot of sense in here from Ron Potts in Hector.
Correct.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, this horse is very dear to me. I did the mating on this horse. I bought his dam as a yearling.
Look at you.
She ended up becoming a stakes horse and just did really, really well with her. And I love the fact that this horse exits out of that open one other than. He ran second by a head to certain, just got beat that day, going to come back in, and he's going to play in his own sandbox. And I think that's pretty much all you really need to do. This horse is legit. Now, and he also has a half-brother called Shadow Factor, who won first time out for Potts, obviously out of Amy Farrah Fowler, who went north of the border and just ended up, in the Victoria Stakes, I believe it was, ends up running third that day, gets beat less than a nose for second. This family is producing. This mare's producing. The family is running. A lot of great things happening with that. And I just think this horse is a cinch today. I really do against this group.
Seems very strong in here. And 8-5 to start the bidding. That'll probably come down. The horse that, if by chance Hector reacts to the recent performances, the horse that's within range happens to be Force of Justice. Mm-hmm. And this gelding, Eduardo Rojas with Martina riding, this horse seems poised for a step forward, which makes him a contender.
There's no doubt about that. But if you take a look last time out, this horse ran against his own kind, played in his own sandbox also on July the 3rd in that state restricted allowance, and ends up getting beat 2.25 to Codalos and Schnicker, who is a Wesley Ward horse. But the horse really, I thought the horse would have run a little better than what it did. I actually liked the horse that day. Martina Rojas back aboard for her dad. But if you take a look back to on April 21st, this horse won the Open 40. They took the horse that day, won that at Laurel, and the horse that ran second, Kings River, he came right back to win again. So if anybody's going to beat Hector today, it would probably most likely be this horse with all the back class that he has. And he's run against, in some tough races with those allowance optionals, those 62.5s. I mean, those aren't easy, especially down on the Maryland circuit. A lot of people, I think, have forgotten about how tough the Maryland circuit really is. And, at the end of the day, I mean, Steve, if people go back to the 50s and 60s, Maryland was as good as Kentucky. There's no question about that when it came to breeding and racing. It was very, very solid. That has obviously changed since then, but still very tough. But I agree with you. I think if anybody can beat Hector, then that's pretty much it. The rest of them, I think, are just also rans today.
All right, let's go to the Princess of Sylmar. And, of course, these are 3 and up. Fillies and mares, 1.70 mile, state breds, and this is a well-matched field. You've got some
absolutely
surface switches to contend with here, turf to synthetic, dirt to synthetic. This is a much trickier group, and Michael Matz emptied the barn. Is everybody running? Are all three running?
I talked to him a little bit ago, and, everybody's running. I love one of his horses, and I told him that. He's like, well, what do you think? I'm like, I love Storm Chaser today. Absolutely adore this horse. Coming out of Runnymore Racing LLC stable. But this horse in that allowance optional claiming only got beat 3 lengths last time out, Steve, at Delaware. But I think this horse is really nice because look at the lead for it. When this horse won on May 31st in the state bred restricted race, beat another horse in here called Lady Out of the Blue. How far was that day? Mile and a 16th. I just love, and I know I didn't speak to the assistant today, and he said that filly had just shipped up here so well, and she is just dragging him around the shed row. I love hearing that. She's bouncing. She's feeling good. And, I mean, like I said, you got to take a shot in here. I really don't like Foxy Jr. at all. Well, and I'll tell you why. This horse never has run on synthetic. She's never run on turf. I'm not 100% sure of her sire Cuba in regards to being on the synthetic. I pitched the horse for my picks, and maybe I did that at my own peril. But I'll be honest with you, I just don't know how great this horse is going to fare on the synthetic surface.
All right, I won't necessarily argue. And even if she does, she isn't necessarily that that much faster than everybody else. The horse on dirt that is a little faster than most happens to be Aaron McClellan's new hire.
New hire, yes, correct.
She's also having to stretch out, and there is speed correct. In here. So I don't.
There's plenty of speed, yeah. Steve. There's no question about that. You know, Genevieve Ziva is going to be rocking and rolling on the front end. You have a couple other horses that do like the speed. I like a horse that's going to sit tactical today. I think if you go out in the engine, and out of the last month, Steve, if you've been paying attention to Prescott at all, last week was the first week we actually had horses win on the engine. And it wasn't for that long. This has been more of a closing type racetrack this year than what it usually is. Or you have to be tactical, close to the pace. You can't be, you know, you can't be too close to it because it's the kiss of death. And we're going to find out what it's like today. I mean, we'll have a better understanding of it as we progress, you know, throughout the day. But if it plays like it has been the past month, man, it's just going to be tough for these front runners. It really is. And it's hot up here today, too. It's not, it got very, very warm. It got very warm today.
Well, if that's the case, one of the other Matt's horses that is going to be a square number, Lady Out of the Blue.
Out of the Blue.
She's the best closer in this group. And in fact, just missed against her stablemate in the Lafarge that you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
So if you're looking for somebody at a number, a Lady Out of the Blue for Matt's that was actually a horse bred by Jonathan Shepherd. Owned by, I wonder if that's our Jack D'Amico.
Yeah, I believe it is.
How about that?
I do believe it is.
How about that?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, good
so
luck to Jack.
And it's so funny you brought that horse up because that's who I have second.
There we go.
Lady Out of the Blue. I just love the way she's been running. She's in good form. Look at her, two at Penn and that allowance optional. That is not an easy race. I don't care what racetrack you're at. You get to those AOCs, they get very, very tough. And this horse was not in for a tag. It's how much they thought of her. I ended up throwing in Rosie's Alibi, the Mike Trump battle horse, looking for three in a row. Won the state bred one other than, came in to Penn after winning at Prescott, came into Penn on the weeds, and this daughter justified one there. She's already stakes placed at Aqueduct. Gallardo in the irons today for my racehorse. I think this horse is going to surprise. 12-1 morning line, but I don't think it'll go off that.
All right.
Great wagering opportunity, Steve, here today in the Princess of Sylmar. So, you know, a really, really good thing. And, you know, Aaron McClellan's bringing in all these Tom Coulter horses. And don't forget, he won that race last year. In fact, my fiance trained Maldives Model, but I don't know what's in the water where he raises these horses at Tom Coulter's farm at Arrowwood, but they do a great job because they just seem to run. I don't know what it is, but he does a very, very good job with his horses.
Pimo, as always, a great job. And Pimo's picks on your Twitter and 3 o'clock first post tonight, this afternoon at Presque, and the stake goes off at 5:42. If you want to play the double, it looks like 4 with 5:10 and maybe a little 2 as a backup. 4 with 5:10 and 2 backup. Pat, I appreciate it.
No problem, Stevie. Have a great day, buddy.
Get lucky. Pimo, everybody. Pat Morrell does a great job. Let's get to Tony Kahlo. And Tony's got the scratches. He's got everything ready for the next Monday, third Monday of action at Ellis Park. And Tony, good morning.
Man, Steve, how are you?
How you doing? How was your week?
It's been all right. Not too bad. You know, get ready to wrap it up. We got a big weekend coming up next weekend with Kentucky Downs Preview Day. I'm just going to try to get through today. Hopefully the weather holds up for us. Right now we are muddy and ooh, good, and the inner rail is 25 feet out. They're calling for rain, but my weather app is kind of showing that we're probably going to miss it, hopefully.
Huh. All right. So for now, and I've got the late pick four, pick five races. The 8th and the 9th are scheduled for the turf. You think you're safe?
I hope so. I think so. I mean, you know, these weather apps are hit and miss, and from what I hear about this part of the country, it can just roll in on you at any given moment. I mean, it got a really, really dark for us before the nightcap yesterday. Luckily, we got in, and then as soon as we had to go walk to our vehicles, then we just got poured on, and of course the umbrella was left in the car.
Well, you're not going to have to worry like you do, like you did in Farmington. There won't be any lake effect snow.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's look at the first of all at the two dirt races back to back, because the 1 mile Philly maiden special that goes as the sixth, and then the boys take over in the seventh, going three quarters. I happen to have had Rudy Brissett on earlier. He's invested in both of these. He was pretty confident about True Violence in the seventh. What's your thoughts there?
Seventh race. All right, I've got the sixth dialed up here real
go
quick.
Ahead.
True
That's
Violence.
Fine.
Which what number is this horse? I'm so sorry. I've got a couple of people in my booth here. Yeah, no. This one looked like it could be pretty promising. I'm coming back a little quick, but you know, Rudy does so good with second time starters, and this one took a ton of money on debut. The winner looked excellent winning. This horse made a nice move to the top of the lane, flattened out just a bit. I am expecting a noticeable improvement today. I have this one as my top pick.
There you go. You know, we're watching, obviously, these first crop stallions, and there is a Vekoma on the rail here. Peter Ertin, who has got some horses at Keeneland, he sends Thunderhawk. And so here's the latest Vekoma to debut, and let's see what this, how the stats are shaping up these days. It's been about a week since I've looked at this. Right now, Vekoma, 9 for his first 26, hitting at 35% with firsters.
Yep, and then he's got a couple more two-year-olds that have won, if I saw the same stat correctly, using the DRF formulator, the 11 wins as a two-year-old. What a tremendous start for him. And I'm looking at the dam, and she started her career out pretty strongly. She won a maiden special weight in June of 2007 in a 7-furlong affair at Churchill Downs on the dirt, and then went straight to Arlington for the first condition and won a race over the synthetic back to Fairgrounds to win. So very versatile dam.
Well, I think we may have, I think we've all stumbled onto something pretty good when it comes to this starter from Rudy Brissett. I will point out the 8 as well. This is Asmussen with a Chancelot colt that is out of a Violence mare who was very quick at 2 herself, Kada, K-A-D-A. And Chancelot so far himself with his firsters, he's 2 for 5 so far.
Wow. You know, Steve, and Steve's got another one that's going to draw in off the also eligible list, the 15 Snap Call. And Eric, his son, is opting to ride this one. This one has a 59 and change move out of the gate over the surface. I'm looking up the dam. She ran 2nd in the Fairgrounds Oaks, 2nd in the Kentucky Oaks to Lovely Maria. Was very, very useful in her debut, closing a ton of ground, going 7 furlongs over a sealed sloppy racetrack. Won her next race over a sealed muddy racetrack. Let's not fall asleep on Snap Call, one of the out on the outside there.
How about that? A volatile and volatile so far himself. 3 for his first 15. So he's hitting at 20%.
Hitting at 20%. And you know, one thing I like with these two-year-olds is when you see those quick gate drills, and 3 consecutive quick gate drills, one at Keeneland, one at Churchill, and then a 59 and 3 out of the gate. That's really quick on the 12th of July right here at Alice.
Well, and that horse, you know, ripping something from today's headlines, happens to be a sibling of King Ottoman. So J.D. Vance might be interested. The sixth race is a mile for the fillies, and it seemed like Rudy was a little cool on Bred to Run. He's not unhappy with her, but I could tell he thinks she might need a little bit more. She's stretching out from that muddy track. She caught wet that day, too, on July 4th.
Yeah, you know, I was watching that replay because I'm always intrigued by second-time starters, and this was the one that I was looking at, and I ended up leaving the replay, falling in love with the 2, Quinn's Promise. Dale Romans improves drastically with second starters, you know, hitting at a really good ROI, 4.30. This one drew the rail and kind of was hesitant up the backstretch run, you know, as a young horse will be along the inside. Finally, when she was able to stretch her legs with an outside run, she came home nicely, galloped out good, and I find her somewhat intriguing at 15-1, the 2, Quinn's Promise.
Interesting. I do want to point out another well-bred candidate. This is the Rusty Arnold filly for the Bregmans for Bregman family. And how about a Justify filly that is a half to Master of Foxhounds?
Wow.
A multiple stake winner, although albeit, you know, longer on the turf. But listen, Justify gets all kinds. I'm a little interested in the second timer from Rusty. 9-2 with Gaffleone in town. Justifies totally justified.
Well, Tyler's not going to be here today. He's off all of his mounts. Nah. But you get Luau Machado with the
That's
accent.
Fine.
Yep, second time starter. Drew the rail, ran very well. Seemed like it was a very a good run. You know, I didn't know what to really make of this race. I went shopping for that big long shot. I know Brendan Walsh's filly took a ton of money, speaking of Justify, out of a Spicetown mare, Hair for a Good Time. That was a good race. Eclatant. I know La Quera didn't come back and run the greatest in her next start at Saratoga. Lady Catherine was second, I believe, last weekend or the weekend before right here at Ellis. I think this one has room to improve. I just always look at first-time starters that attract a ton of money, and this one really got wagered on strongly that particular day on the 21st of June.
On the outside, too, you've got a sibling to a stake winner, Steve Asmussen, Firster, Running and Gunning. And this happens to be a half to Alms that I believe was Mike Stidham. Stake winner.
All right, yeah. I didn't really look at this one that strongly. Boy, we got some big fields today. You've got to get tied on with these 2-year-olds, and you got to do a lot of homework. You know, Steady Eddie drills, that's for sure. Maybe not quite as quick as some of Steve's other drills, but just a long, steady amount of work going 5 furlongs and plenty over the racetrack too, which I always like.
Well, hopefully we stay on the grass for that 8th and the 9th. How about a pick and each? There happens to be a horse in the 8th that I just became a fan of. That's Scooby Quando for Ben Colebrook.
Yeah, that's who I'm on. I thought Scooby was totally against the flow of the course that particular day on the 22nd of June. They went slow. The race had no pace in it. Miranda Wrights was forwardly positioned. Miranda Wrights is scheduled to run next weekend in one of our big stakes races here. Scooby Quando, he's legit, that's for sure. I really liked his victory on the Jeff Ruby undercard on the 23rd of March. He's versatile, and I think he's due for a big, big run this afternoon.
I like it. Tappet Shoes in here.
Yep, that would be my other one as well.
Yeah, comes back for Cox. Then the 9th, what are you doing in the 9th?
The 9th race, let's see, what was I looking at there? I found this race a little difficult. You know, Big Trouble obviously looks like a player. I got a little sneaky long shot. I'm hoping that will run well, providing we stay on the turf. The 7th, Sorir, American Pharoah out of a Scat Daddy, finally going to get a 2-turn race. All of these other 4 consecutive starts are all 1-turn races, been forwardly positioned, had the misfortune of running up against Ways and Means. You know, that's a young horse, Sorir, probably not ready to tackle the likes of her. I liked her victory at Keeneland, and with American Pharoah blood up top and Scat Daddy blood underneath, you can do far worse than 10-1 on the turf.
Well, and I didn't get to that horse with Wesley, or did I? I can't remember now. I don't think I brought that horse up with Wesley a half hour ago.
Jeez, look, we had a golden opportunity.
I helped you on the Rudy Brissett is the best I can do.
it's all good, my man.
Tony, a big weekend certainly coming up. We've got Whitney Day on Saturday in New York, but Saturday and Sunday, those two cards are unbelievably good at Ellis. Not just the preview, the Kentucky Downs preview races, but everything else as well. So
big fields. Yeah, looking forward to it myself. It's going to be a great opportunity for the fans to make some cash.
Well, right now there's an opportunity. Ellis starts at 12:50 Eastern. And tune in and listen to Tony, and we'll be watching betting ourselves. Thanks, Tony.
All right, Steve, thank you.
Tony Kahlo, everybody. Away he goes. Thanks to Tony. Thanks to Wesley Ward. Pimo. Earlier, Craig DeLazzi. That was tremendous. Rudy Brissett and Mig. Did I miss anything? Brian, I don't know what you got going on with the records, but obviously pull that up. Yeah, thank you. Work on that overnight. Thanks, everybody. Replay 6-9 here on Sirius XM. Archive podcast after some post-production. I'll talk to you in the morning. Good luck today.